Good morning, and welcome to Just One Thing, Simple Practices for Resilience and Happiness by Dr. Rick Hansen. This is your volunteer programmer, Barbara Felix, from the Sun Sounds of Arizona Studios. Rick Hansen, PhD, is a psychologist and New York Times best-selling author. He's been invited to speak at NASA, Oxford, Stanford, Harvard, and meditation centers worldwide. His books are available in 28 languages and include Making Great Relationships, Hardwiring Happiness, Just One Thing, and Mother Nurture. His work has been featured on the BBC, CBS, NPR, and other major media. And now, just one thing. Are you taking care of yourself? The practice. Stay well. Why? Note, this just one thing is adapted from Mother Nature, a book written for mothers, focusing on typical parenting situations and gender differences that are experienced by many, though not all, mothers and fathers, and by parents in same-sex relationships. Parenting is a complex subject, plus it intertwines with larger issues of gender roles and the long history of mistreatment of women. Obviously, society should do a better job of supporting families in general, and mothers and fathers in particular. But meanwhile, there are things that they can do for themselves. Alas, there is no room for these complexities in these brief, just one things. For my discussion of them, please see my book, Mother Nurture. Most mothers say that parenting is one of the most fulfilling experiences of their life, as well as the most demanding, stressful, and draining. Studies show that bearing and rearing children is commonly disturbing and depleting to a woman's body, especially over the long term, past the postpartum period, after a woman falls off the radar of the healthcare system. No mother wants her experience of raising children to be shadowed by fatigue, nagging aches, pains, or emerging health problems. Not only is it a shame, but it's also harder to function at a high level at home, at work, or in an intimate relationship when running oneself into the ground. Many mothers have more or less resigned themselves to this condition, but the fact is that with some simple common sense practices, most mothers can reclaim a strong sense of health and vitality. The moms who stay energetic, avoid illness, and keep some reserves in their health bank, do these essential things. Get enough sleep, eat right, exercise regularly, avoid health hazards, have regular checkups. Sure, it's easier said than done, but at least you can do what you can, whatever is realistically possible for you in this direction. How? Get enough sleep. There's an old saying, the journey of 1,000 miles begins with the first step, and the journey to health starts with sleep. Most people need at least 7 or 8 hours of sleep each night. A person with a hard-working, stressful life, like a mother, often needs even more, and it is vital to make sure you're getting enough. Insufficient sleep can lead to gastrointestinal troubles, a weakened immune system, and slow repair of strained or sore muscles acquired through routine activities like hauling children out of car seats. It also causes poor concentration and memory, lowers mood, and shortens a person's emotional fuse. To get better sleep, do what you can so that you are able to mentally restful activities during the hour or so before bedtime, like reading casually, watching TV, or taking a bath. Don't pay bills at night or talk about them with your partner, and agree to table until the following day any potentially difficult discussions. Keep a pad and pen by your bedside to write down any thoughts or reminders for the next day so you can get them out of your head. And if you meditate, a self-compassion meditation a few minutes before bed can help open the velvet trap door to sleep. Eat well. There are basically two ways to shift a diet in a healthier direction. One, make sweeping changes all at once, or two, work into it. Whichever path is chosen, it's important to stay on it until the result is truly mother-nurturing nutrition. Slip-ups happen now and then, so just get back on the path at the next meal. Optimizing nutrition often takes several tries, but each time something improves. Even small changes in the right direction add up as the years go by. Every day, try to eat 8 to 12 ounces of protein, 5 to 7 servings of fresh vegetables, and 1 to 2 fruits. Unrefined oils and essential fatty acids instead of refined or hydrogenated oils or trans fatty acids. 2 to 5 servings of unrefined varied whole grains. Organic foods whenever possible. High potency nutritional supplements to make up for the deficits of micronutrients, especially minerals, in the real world of most people's actual diets. And zero or little refined sugar. Exercise regularly. Any good fitness program balances the development of aerobic capacity and strength. The goal is to work up to keeping the heart beating fast, but not more than 140 times a minute for at least 20 to 30 minutes, 3 or 4 times a week. No matter how out of shape one might be or super busy, there's always a way to get the blood moving. Of course, adapt these general suggestions to your own body and any vulnerabilities it has. You can try going for a walk or run, riding a bike, taking an aerobics class, or using equipment in a gym, going for a swim, exercising in the comfort of your home, or doing yoga to exercise your mind as well as your body, and or strength training. Avoid health hazards. Health also means not exposing your body to hazards like environmental toxins, smoking, alcohol or drug abuse, or excessive weight. These wear on health at a time when moms can least afford it, like trying to run a marathon while carrying a couple of bricks. Have regular checkups. Depletion starts at the molecular level in your body, and it can go a long way before becoming really obvious. To stay healthy, it's important to catch the little things before they get big. Putting off checkups until illness occurs is like searching the stable for clues after the horse has run away. You're listening to Sun Sounds of Arizona, bringing you Just One Thing, Simple Practices for Resilience and Happiness by Dr. Rick Hansen. And here's another Just One Thing. To what is your mind given? The practice, come to center. Why? I'm old enough to remember a time when people usually answered good when you asked them the standard, how are you? These days, the answer is commonly busy. I know what it feels like to get very busy and start to feel dispersed, juggling a dozen priorities at any moment, attention skittering from one thing to another, body revved up, feeling stretched thin and spread out like being squished between two sheets of glass. You know that feeling? Besides being both unpleasant and a spigot of stress hormones, it's weirdly contagious, spreading from one person to another and fueled in part by the underlying economics of consumerism. We now have a Western and especially American culture of busyness. If you're not busy, you must not be important. If you don't have a lot on your mind, you must be underperforming. If your kids aren't busy with homework and after-school activities, they won't get ahead. If you don't look busy, someone will ask you to work harder, etc. Enough already. Instead of being scattered to the four winds, collect and concentrate your mind and energy. Besides feeling a lot better, it's more effective in the long run. For example, what does an Olympic gymnast do before launching a tumbling run or a rocket before heading into space? Come to center. How? Savor pleasure. As the brain evolved, pleasure and its underlying endorphins and other natural opioids developed to pull our ancestors out of disturbed fight, flight, freeze bursts of stress and return them and keep them in a sustainable equilibrium of recover, replenish, repair. Let physical or mental pleasure really land. Give yourself over to it fully rather than looking for the next thing. Move. Dance, exercise, yoga, walks, lovemaking, play, and athletics reset the mind, body. For me personally, movement at either end of the intensity spectrum, very subtle or very vigorous, has the most impact. Get wild. We evolved in nature, and multiple studies are showing that natural things, the beach, wilderness, sitting under a tree in your backyard, are restorative. Enjoy art. By this, I mean making or experiencing anything aesthetic, such as doing crafts, listening to music, watching a play, trying a new recipe, playing your guitar, building a fence, or taking a pottery class. Feel the core. Most of the inputs into your brain originate within your own body, and most, if not all, of those signals are like night watchmen calling, all is well, all is well, all is well. Feeling into your breathing, sensing your innards, and noticing that you are all right right now are endlessly renewing opportunities to settle into the physical center of your being. Be now. The center of time is always this moment. A primary difference between humans and other species is our capacity for mental time travel. But this blessing is also in some ways a curse, in that the mind keeps dispersing itself into the past and the future. It proliferates worries, plans, rehashings, and fantasies like manic vines in a speeded up jungle. Instead, right now, be now. And again, get disenchanted. This means waking up from the spell, from the enchantments woven by the wanting mind in concert with culture and commerce. We normally pursue hundreds of little goals each day: return this call, organize that event, produce these emails, get across those points, associated with presumed rewards produced by ancient brain centers to motivate our reptilian and mammalian ancestors. Let the truth land that these rewards are rarely as good as promised. Again and again, I've had to remind myself to quit chasing the brass ring. While staying engaged with life, return to the reliable rewards of feeling already full. The undoing of the craving, broadly defined, that creates suffering and harm. Try a little practice on first waking or at other times in which you take a few seconds or longer to feel already peaceful, already contented, and already loved. This is the home base of the body, brain, and mind. Come home to center. You are listening to Just One Thing, Simple Practices for Happiness and Resilience by Dr. Rick Hansen, brought to you by Sun Sounds of Arizona. Are you breathing the practice, one breath at a time? Breathing brings you home, body and mind twined together in the breath. As soon as you become aware of breathing, you're in your body. Speed up the breath and there's new energy. Slow it down and you calm down. Inhale and oxygen surges into your brain while arousing sympathetic nervous system activates and accelerates the heartbeat. Exhale and activate the soothing, peaceful, parasympathetic nervous system so the heart beats more slowly. In the breath, you are home in this moment, this now. Breath feels like life inside. No wonder it's been traditionally linked to spiritual matters. To inspire is to inhale. To inspirit, to uplift. The breath is always available as an object of attention, whether formally in meditation or informally as a way to recenter yourself. Track the breath in yourself and know yourself more deeply. Track the breath in others and know them more deeply. If all else fails and your mind is screaming in pain or blown open in chaos, there is still the breath. Sometimes all you can do is breathe and know that you are still breathing. One breath at a time, just getting through this breath, and then the next one, and the next. Plus, in the knowledge of breathing, there is awareness of awareness, not metaphysically or cosmically, but as a refuge, if need be, of last resort. Try it. Breathing here and now, recognize that awareness is a field or space in which contents come and go, such as the sensations of breathing. You can see directly that no matter what arises and passes away, awareness remains undamaged and unstained, like the sky that is never harmed by the storm clouds passing through it. When times are terrible, try to be the observing, the awareness, to get some space from the pain and sustain a sense of being intact in your core. You can do this as well when times are good, which will help you both to stay in the sweet spot of enjoying without tipping into the suffering of wanting, and to strengthen your grounding in awareness for when things fall apart. How? So far, I've always described these just one thing practices with an active verb, such as take in the good, give thanks, or find strength. I could have done the same here with take one breath at a time. But this is different. It's not just that we take a breath. Sometimes the breath takes itself. Sometimes it takes us. When the mind and body are really quiet, there's hardly any talking at all. Whenever you like, find the breath and stay with it through one inhalation and exhalation. You could notice its sensations in your stomach, chest, or around the upper lip, or the internal sensations inside the throat or in the diaphragm, or sense the breath in the chest altogether. Next, see if you can rest your attention in the breath for three full cycles of inhaling and exhaling. Then how about 10 full cycles from beginning to end? Distracting thoughts may nibble at your attention, but disengage from them while sinking more and more deeply into the breath. And if you like, let go of counting and simply give over to the breath, breath after breath. Somewhere in here, as you become more present in the breath, more absorbed in it, you could experience breathing as the whole body breathing. Try this at night as you're falling asleep, resting as a body breathing. Or if you wake and can't easily return to sleep, soften the edges of your mind out into only breathing. Breathing blurs out into the quiet of the night. Be breathing as you do things or have them. One breath at a time while dressing, eating, driving, talking, washing, cuddling, writing. Or simply be breathing. Nothing else to do, no one to be. The simplest job in the world. One breath at a time. What a relief. We are so busy these days that it's great to have just one thing to focus on, a simple theme to reflect on and be inspired by. These practices are grounded in brain science, positive psychology, and contemplative training. They're simple and easy to do, and they produce powerful results. For example, one practice asks you to take a few minutes each day to notice little things you appreciate or feel grateful for, like the smell of an orange or the smile of a friend. This may not sound like much, but research has shown that this practice will lift your mood, protect you against stress, and even strengthen your immune system. You have been listening to Just One Thing, Simple Practices for Resilience and Happiness by Dr. Rick Hansen, brought to you by Sun Sounds of Arizona. This is your volunteer programmer, Barbara Felix, from the Sun Sounds of Arizona studios, thanking you so much for listening today, and I hope that you have a wonderful rest of your day. And now, stay tuned for more interesting programming coming your way from Sun Sounds of Arizona next.